All right, let's go to Colossians 2, verse 6. I'm going to go ahead and start reading for time's sake. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord. So if you're a sinner, you got to receive Christ. I want to always emphasize that. But I believe from what I see in here, most every one of you here who's been here said you received Christ. But so walk ye in him. So walk ye in him. Listen to this. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. If you have lack in your life, this is a scripture that you want to get a hold of and do what it says. Walk in him. Be rooted in him. Be built up in him. And established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now listen to 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. There's traditions in America that is not the word of God. They can call it what they want to. It does not line up with the book. It's a half-truth. They'll give you a part of a scripture and give you the rest a lie, and it will in the end, it will not give you the benefit of God. But vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this of the world, and not after Christ. Now listen, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10. Now this is for every one of you listening right now. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in him. Otherwise, what he's saying, look, I've already paid the price. I've already defeated death, hell, and the grave. I've already defeated Satan. In fact, he said the only place he belongs in your life is under your feet. Get your eyes off of him and get your eyes on the Lord and walk in him, as it said in the earlier verse, be rooted in him, built up in him, grounded in him, and you will be blessed and you'll be thankful for what God's done in your life. I'm here to tell you today that God does not never exceed to blow my mind. Even in the hardest times of my life, he exceeds. He just constantly just something just comes up. You know, I had somebody come up to us. I've had people that, you know, with the loss of 6 kids in our lives, and they look at us like, how are you even living? And I said, God. I said, they said, you don't look like you've been through that. And I said, God. I said, I'm here to tell you right now. I said, if you don't have God, you won't go through nothing. I said, you can crash your car and you'll lose. People go out and kill themselves because of stupid stuff. And I'm telling you, I like life. I love God. And I'm here to tell you that God is greater, but we got to walk with him. We got to do what he says. I got 2 more places. 1 Timothy. It says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. See, this is what I try to get across to people, because Satan has beat people down so hard that they don't think they can go further than where they're at. They can get saved, but they feel like they got to stay where they're at, beat down all the time, constantly in turmoil. That's a lie of the devil. God has not sent his son to die a horrible death for our sins that we would suffer. In fact, John 10:10 says, the thief cometh to kill, steal, and destroy. He said, but I have come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. I don't know about you, but I've looked in the mirror many times and said, God, that is not an abundant life, and I want the life you promised. God, I am not settled for that. I will not settle for what I see today. I want the abundance that you promised me in the Word of God. I'm here to tell you that you can have it, but you got to walk it out in authority. It's your choice. You can accept what the world's given you, or you can walk in agreement with this book. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Word's still living. He's still alive. John 3:17, and I'll pull over here. I don't get these off of Sermon Central. just so you know. I had a guy tell me that one time. I thought that was funny. I didn't know there was such a place. But everybody quotes 3:16, and I like quoting 15, 16, 17 together, but I'm going to read 17. It says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." I preached that scripture before, and I've had church people come up to me and argue with me that that's not what that means. And I look at them right in the face. I said, "I really don't care what you say. The Bible is right. It says, let God be true and every man a liar. If you want to argue with me, don't argue with me. Argue with the kingdom that I come from and the king that rules it. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm under kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're under kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not feel like it. You may look in the mirror and say you hate where you're at. But I'm here to tell you that if you'll walk in agreement with this word and you'll walk it out by faith, you'll see the evidence of God. You'll see his mercy. You'll see his grace. You'll see the power of God start manifesting in your life. I mean, we're believing for stuff right now that is beyond my comprehension. Listen, I didn't go full-time ministry to just sit around and wait. I'm believing for revival across America. And I believe it's coming. I believe it's coming. I really do. I've seen it in the spirit realm. But you got to get your faith around it. You got to get your faith that God has a whole lot more for you than what you see. You got to get your faith around that you'll be the head and not the tail. You know, if there's something in my life that don't line up with it, now listen, I got a heavenly Father that said he loved me so much that he sent his only begotten Son for my sins. I got to fully believe that if I'm not living right in an area, he's more than able to get me right. He's more than able to get me right. You know, Paul told the I believe it was in the Corinthians, the one guy had his father's wife and went through the different scenarios, but if he didn't receive it, he said, turn him over to Satan, that his body would be destroyed, but his soul would be saved. And I'm here to tell you, listen, we serve a loving God, and he's a whole lot more gracious than we are. And I'm here to tell you that, but we gotta walk in the authority that God's given. But always remember this. I'm going to stress this because the Lord's really stressed this in my life. Never in arrogance. If you abuse the authority of God, you're gonna get it. God loves you. He'll restore you, but he'll correct you. I honestly believe that. It's put a fear in me that I don't want to ever abuse the authority God's given. I don't ever want to misuse it. I don't ever want to try to sell it. I don't ever want to do anything that would, that's what the one sorcerer wanted from the disciples. He said, "I'll give you money for this. I'll give you money for what you got." He said, he called him a devil. He said, "You're the devil." But we got to understand that you can't buy this. You can't earn it. It's for you by faith. It's by faith. You can have what you want. You know, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. That delight yourself don't mean just the way the American believes. I believe you study out in the Greek and Hebrew that it actually means bend, pliable, bend, delight yourself. So mold, bend yourself to the Lord, whichever way he says go, whatever what he says do. Make yourself pliable. Make yourself in a place with him that when that happens, your desires will come into fullness. You know, do you desire a new home? There's no reason why you can't have one. Now, I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I believe that if you put yourself to God's will, so if you walk in agreement with him, make yourself pliable, bend to him, follow him, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Lord bless you. I love you, and I appreciate you guys letting me speak. If you want prayer, we'll pray for you. The altars are open. Come Sunday expecting. Pray for your pastor. Lift him up tonight. Keep him encouraged. I'm talking about Dave. And listen, you think you have trials? I know pastors that go through some of the horrendous stuff. I mean, stuff they won't tell anybody. Family troubles, financial troubles, IRS troubles, all these different things, and are doing everything right. But the enemy's trying to find a way to discourage them, try to frustrate them, try to make them say, if this is all there is, I'm done. You know how many pastors are quitting every day? There's more quitting than coming. I'll tell you that. But God love you. Have a good rest of the week. Keep Tracy in prayer. I think she might have to have another surgery, is what they said. But she really needs prayer. If you got time, to go by there and visit her. She's in St. John's, and she would love to see people visit. And it just means a lot, you know, she's been in there, what now, 20 days, 21, 3 weeks. So 21 days today. You know, that's a long time. So or give her a phone call or a text, something. Just say, that means a lot. It really does, to let people know, look, I got your back. I'm praying for you. We miss you. You know, whatever it is. But the altars are open. If you want to pray, let's pray. And